Hey guys, Nick Drosos.
Dr. Andrew Steinberg.
And welcome to another episode of...
Have the Balls to Talk About It. And welcome back to Dr. Zorn. Today, we talked last time about surgical therapy for BPH, benign prostate enlargement, as well as prostate cancer. And today we're going to talk about something super exciting. One of the most exciting things I think I've experienced in the changes in the last 10 years or so, or 15 years, in the treatment of prostate disease, and that is MIST therapy for enlarged prostate. So take it away.
So last week we had a discussion on tissue removal under anesthesia, TURP, green light, hole-up, aquablation, and this whole endeavor, what could be done in the office. So we had this big gap between here's some medications, here's some Flomax, I'm gonna shrink your prostate with some Proscar, to let's go to the anesthesia, put you to sleep, and then scrape the inside of your prostate with risks of incontinence, bleeding, and oh, by the way, we have to loss of ejaculation, and possibly have to do this again in 10 years, about 8%. So what are options that are in the middle that we can do that's gonna be in the office, may not remove all the tissue, but maintain my ejaculation, not affect my sexuality, my erections, or my orgasm. And so we entered into the phase of these MIS, minimally invasive surgical therapies. And that's really taken off, I would say, in the last 6 or 7 years to be about 30 to 40% in the US and globally in terms of treatments. So it really represents a big and growing area of interest, especially with our limited OR time.
But let me add, the field of MIST for BPH is not new at all. The thing that's changed is they now actually work great. I mean, people have injected anything you can imagine. I mean, there's studies where people inject alcohol, they
Botox,
try to freeze the prostate,
cryo,
Botox.
HIFU.
Exactly, hot, cold, and everything in between. Microwave therapy, incisions.
TUMT,
there was a million
energy.
Types of therapies, but they just, you know, they never stood the test of time. And I think now, and I've been sort of watching these come and go, waiting for a true, especially since I'm office-based now, waiting for a great office-based procedure to offer the patients. There's a couple out now and a couple more coming, and I think Kevin will take us through those.
So I've been, back through the days of Dr. El Halali at McGill, my training, and it led me into a path where now I'm part of the Canadian and American guidelines for BPH. So I've been very scrutinizing this data, as Dr. Andrew Steinberg said, the idea of looking and seeing, did they pass the test of time? To get in the guidelines, you have to go through certain, you know, clinical trials. So part of these were, you know, we'll talk about Resume, which is the like a cysto, but we inject some steam. We can talk about that. There is the placement of these small suture staples that sort of, like you're opening your curtains, you can pull them apart and staple them so that they remain open. And we'll get into some of the stents, which is kind of like, you know, you have bypass surgery. Well, we can just put a small stent through an artery and unblock an artery without having to crack your chest. Enter the days of stents 2.0.
Yeah,
we'll get into the
1.0.
1.0, we'll talk about that, and I think that's why people are still a bit apprehensive. Yeah. But there's some studies that are going on out, which are very impressive.
Yeah, so you see, like from a bunch of techniques which weren't amazing to a bunch of techniques which are now amazing, and it's going to be deciding which one is the best. You know, we're working here to be able to carry two or three of them, or three or four, and try to match the treatment with the patient, because there's a bunch of different factors beyond this discussion, which will distinguish, you know, yeah, I think you're better for this, or you're better for that. So
Nick, that would tell you that the days of complexity, I mean, we talked about prostate cancer, and that was a tough talk. You gotta tell someone you got prostate cancer, your different options are radiation, surgery, actors, fats, we got three. Now we've come to an age where we've really had to personalize. I feel like I need a bow tie, like a menu. What's important? We've got to really dig down to not just the size of the prostate. Do you have a median lobe? Are you fit for anesthesia? Are you taking blood thinners?
You want to save your ejaculation.
Now
you
it's the
you don't
exactly.
Care.
Now we're going to get into the real personal. And as urologists, we do that already, and some more than others. But really, to get down, what's valuable for you? Is your ejaculation important?
So are you sacrificing something for something, or into a certain
always.
Extent?
Like, there's always that discussion.
What am I willing? Really not to lose, or lose and at what cost.
And some people, like, let's just say a hole-up is a beautiful surgery, but it comes with transient incontinence in 10-15% of people, where they'll be wearing pads or diapers for a couple of months doing active physiotherapy. Or I don't want to even deal with that. Well, let's talk about resume or something of that nature. Well, rather than shrinking your prostate 70%, it's 30%, but you maintain your ejaculation and so forth.
You're done in the office, no general anesthesia. So I go through this mental exercise in my head all the time. Okay, if I was this patient, this was me, and this is what I care about. You know, I want to maintain a good sex life. I want to, you know, avoid going under the anesthesia at any cost. I've done it a couple of times in my life, and if I can, you know, would I like something just in the office, I walk out, or do I want, like, you know, nuclear bomb, put me to sleep, do as much as you can, you know, and these are the kind of discussions where it leads to fine-tuning, because if you want, you know, the first section, well, this is where you're going. If you want the second section, you're going for surgery.
But at the end, it's always the patient that decides, right?
You always.
Just guide him.
It should be. And I think it's not every urologist will go through all these options. Yeah. You have like 10 minutes in an office. This
lucky,
is what I do.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
If you're
right.
lucky.
This is what I do.
This is what I do. And I have 40, 50 patients. So how can I help you? And this is what's publicly available. And we're good. Another thing that just to add in, some of these treatments that we're having, it's not like if you made the decision like you had radiation for prostate cancer. Once you have that, we're probably going to go back and do surgery. We burnt that bridge. Whereas for these techniques, if you do, and you have to do something in 4, 5, 10 years later, all these options are still on the table, and most likely there's going to be a few others that are coming out in the next little while. So it's a really an explosive space. It's a great level of interest because I think we're much deeper in our conversations with our patients, and truly they're, you know, missed. And there's something we're going to talk about, true miss, where you're doing a cysto, and just like angiography, hey, there's some blockage right there on the same spot. We can introduce something really quickly and fix the problem same day versus, oh, we did a cysto, there's blockage, but we need to come back and anesthesia. So the idea of mists and true mists is something Dr. Alterman and I came up with this term a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and the advantage that we have here, if we want to toot our own horn, because in Canada especially, you know, hospitals don't like to pay for new technologies. So they don't pay for these. They don't offer them. They don't allow you to offer them. So
in our private, that means
in our practice where we're based, you know, when we make the decision of what we treat, and you know, obviously we have to pass the cost down to the patient for the cost of these equipment. But you know, we're able to, besides some of the research going on in the universities where they have research grants and it's done only under research studies protocols, we're able to now offer these quickly, and so on. So without further ado, let's
get into resume.
Ones you got.
So the first one is resume. It now has 5-year data picked up by Boston Scientific. So Boston Scientific is the same big company. So it's not like a little, you know, Acme little company. It's a reputable company that has resume. And this is an office-based procedure like a cysto. So same shape. It's actually a bit smaller. That will go through with a camera that's preloaded here. So everything's under vision. And once we get to the bladder neck, the beginning of the prostate, we'll rotate, pull back a centimeter and press one button. And here we'll see out, sticking out, motor driven.
Is that a little pin?
Yeah, it's 1 centimeter. So go ahead. It's pointy enough to get through the tissue, like a blood draw.
Okay.
And rather than pulling out blood, it injects steam through these 3 small holes circumferentially. So it's actually 0.42 milliliters of steam, just over 100 centigrade, that is infused and goes between the cells only in that transition zone. So it doesn't go anywhere else. It won't cause a rectal injury.
It can't spread beyond the confines of the transitional zone.
So transition zone is it transitions. It goes through puberty. We used that term before, prostate puberty. So every man at some point will have this. The prostate grows. So we give meds. We can resect it. Or we inject steam. And it's only in that compartment because of the capsule.
It's beautiful. It uses the physical properties of the technique to follow the natural lines of the prostate where you want to treat, and it can't go beyond there.
It's local anesthesia. Physics. So we actually do this, the same thing for a prostate biopsy. With a small needle, inject lidocaine around the prostate, let it sit for 15 minutes, the patient's listening to some music. We then will go in.
In the office.
In office. And every treatment, we said 0.42 milliliters, 9 seconds. And so Dr. Steiber and I will treat between 4 injections, some 10 injections. So do the math. It's all procedures under 5 minutes.
Wow.
We put the catheter in. The downside to this is going to be that it doesn't work right away. So it takes about a month or two to start that shrinkage prostate.
The steam kills the cells,
yes.
But it's got to be...
It's got to like.
So the patients will slough some tissue. They'll have some inflammatory. So like if I kind of create a burn on your skin, it's going to remove some of the skin, but there'll be some healing phase, of which we know from ultrasounds at 1 year, the prostate shrinks by 30%, which is what Proscar and those kind of medications do, but that's a medication for life with the side effects. So I call this the surgical pill. Okay. Now you can do this on anticoagulated patients. You don't have to stop their anticoagulation, various ages. And there's been a couple of series, including ours as well, where men who have catheters during COVID, their ORs are blocked, they're living with a catheter. What option do we have? Well, Dr. McVary out of Chicago published a series of frail old men who couldn't have an anesthesia. They did resume, and over 90% of these patients by 3 months were catheter free.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So to me, it's a life changer. It's a, to the patient, it's a completely different experience. And ejaculatory dysfunction, less than 5%. So again, it just preserves anatomy and is a minimally invasive option for men looking to get off medications or yeah. who have catheters and have various size prostates.
So
I'm looking at this guy here. I'm trying to figure out the...
So that actually is not a device.
Are we having champagne?
So you know, this lends into another stents, where stents one had some calcifications. This is 10, 15 years ago. But we've come up with a new metal called nitinol. So it's nickel, titanium, made at the Naval Ordnance Laboratory. In the U.S. and they never patented, so they, you know, gave the name nitinol, and that's the metal that we use for our stents and other guide wires. And they made these struts. And the gentleman who made this in Israel came up with this concept. Meditate was the company. At the top of a champagne bottle, looked at it and said, "Well, can we reshape the prostate?" So that's the top of, you know, the champagne yeah. bottle. And he said, "Hey, let's come up with this device where." So what would do? So Dr. Steinberg and I would go in with a flexible camera. So this is available right now in Canada, and it's been in the States. They have 5 year data for 60 or 80 grams or less, no median lobe. And we'll go in, place this in the bladder, and then you can imagine this is my prostate
tight.
It's collapsed. Yeah, we don't put it in like that. So it's actually, it compresses into, you know, as you can see, I can flatten it out, and it's all encompassed, and you push it through a tube, urethral access sheath, and we'll deploy in the bladder. So now it's just floating around the bladder. And what's important is that the shepherd's hook is the 6 o'clock position, that you can see there's a strut at 12 o'clock, there's a strut at 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And to me, you know, the next 5 or 7 days, so this is only in for 5 or 7 days, it's a temporary stent.
So it stays in there?
For five to seven days.
5 to 7 days.
No catheter,
okay.
No bleeding, and what you'll do is you'll pull back into the bladder neck and the prostate.
Okay.
So you can see that it's like braces, it's putting pressure at 12, okay. 5, and 7, and it sort of cuts and these grooves over the next couple of days to open up that prostate space. So it's making incisions.
Is it painful?
It's discomforting. It's like if I never had braces, but my sons did. And
I had braces, yeah. It was just annoying. Like it hurts, annoying, but it's not like...
It's a price to pay, yeah. Saying, like, I don't want somebody to have to be on a wait list.
I have a question. So this is...
The string
is out?
Outside, little tegaderm on the thigh, okay. For the next 5 to 7 days. So when they come back for the removal, we don't even have to use a camera. We push over a catheter into the urethra, pull, so it gets into the catheter, then remove the catheter. So there's only one cystoscope. Unlike some patients who have double J's, you do the double J's, you have to go whack it with a cystoscope and remove it. So no cysto for retrieval. That's 5 to 7 days later.
How long does this take, Andrew? Like, I mean, it doesn't sound like...
10 minutes.
10 minutes, you keep it inside, then I come back.
Come back for a 2 minute procedure to take it out.
Yeah, and the IPSS reductions, we talked about that. That's the International Prostate Symptom Score. Whereas, you know, patients come to see us, we were 20 and above. And for green light or hole up, we drop them to single digits. Medications may drop the IPSS by 5 or 6. But here we're able to drop the IPSS by both the resume and the ITIN by 15 on average.
Which is very significant.
But how do I, as a patient, like, how do I pick one? Is there...
Well, do you have a median lobe?
Again, you come see one of us.
So it's based on my prostate size?
Anatomy, your prostate size. So if you have like a 90 gram prostate and a big median lobe, which is kind of a third lobe, you can think of, here's my channel of my urethra. The lateral lobes, like Star Wars, the walls are collapsing. That's the classic. But you also may have this flap ball. The way I tell my patients, it's like when you open up a toilet bowl, there's that flap.
Yeah.
That's your median lobe. It's a round ball that sits and obstructs a third component.
Some men don't have it, some men do.
Yeah, so about 30-40% of men will have it. And the resume has the advantage because we can actually inject the median lobe. the itind or the stents that are going to come out don't address median
so
lobes.
So pretty much you would tell the patient you're going to go with this or you're going to go with that.
We'll make suggestions. Again,
yeah, this is your best option.
Shared discussion with patients and based on data and so forth. I'll treat you like my dad. That's what this is, if you're me or that, and based on those, like a DJ, like, you know, you've got sexual function, ejaculation, durability, cost, that we look at that and what suits the best of the patient.
All right, what about that little coil there?
So this is called a ZenFlow spring. This is made also in nitinol. You can see that I can pull it flat and has its memory. Go ahead and pull it. So it's flexible. It's made of nitinol. It's meant to be a permanent stent that never gets absorbed in the tissues. So back to stents 1.0, we made these really big mesh, almost like the door stoppers. When you open a door, they look like big coils. We're made of metal. And metal and urine are not friends, because calcium in our urine would stick to it. We'd get encrusted. They'd get obstructed. They'd move.
Yeah, the old stents were disastrous.
The Euroloom.
And you couldn't take them out because they were...
They became like mesh with cement.
Yeah.
So that's why I think a lot of people hear stents are like, this is bad news. But all of a sudden, we have ZenFlow, ZenCast, our BREE study we're doing enrolling
patients.
But
how do you put this in?
So you go in with a flexible cysto. I can show a video if you guys want. But ultimately, we go with a flexible scope. You blow a balloon up on the separate handpiece, and you pull back so the balloon sits at the bladder neck. And like a gun, you're going to squeeze 1, 2, 3. And what happens each time you squeeze the trigger, it releases out the spring. And what's cool about this is that there's little feet at each end. So if you don't like the delivery, or in a year, or in 3 years, the prostate grows, like your shoes grow, time to get new shoes. We go in with our cystoscope, we grab the tip, we take it out, and we put a new one in, or we do a resume, or we choose another solution. So this is where ZenFlow, I think, is, you know, maybe 2 years away from getting approval, but that to me is going to revolutionize, kind of like angiography changed the life of cardiologists, whereas, you have heart disease, sir, we're going to send you to a surgeon, you need surgery. Or, you know, now we send them to angiography, same day you go home, you have some stents, you take some meds, life is very different. There is no recovery. I think this will be a major shift in our management.
But is this available right now?
It is not. So we have a BREEZE trial. We're enrolling patients. We're about two-thirds of the way through.
In the U.S., is it available?
No. So
nowhere.
It's available.
Nowhere.
But I'm just showing some glimpses
I thought maybe it was in the U.S., but not here yet. Okay.
So right now, the commercially available, we have accessible both U.S. and Canada. We have Resume. We have iTind, which is what we have here. And we have another device called the Eurolift, which are the individual staples.
Tug open the prostate.
Yeah, but you don't do median lobe. So those are the three that are the myths. But the true myths, I think, are going to be the iTin is the first. And I think the ZenFlow, and there's a few other Eurocross. There's Proverum. There's other stents that are coming with different shapes. And the question is, which is the right shape? Is it a permanent? Do we take it after 6 months? Those are some of the questions that we're going to try and answer with some of these clinical trials.
So you see what I'm saying before, this is really truly an exciting time to be treating. And as we said, when the population is growing, well, the average prostate in the world is growing also. And these guys are very symptomatic. My father had a Resume done by Dr. Zorn, and incredible. Incredible improvement.
He saw how many urologists he had, do a whole bunch of.
He was on three medications and still he would pee 4 or 5 times a night. He would keep a cup in his car because he would get strong urges to pee because he wasn't emptying his bladder and he'd have to pee in his car. Now he's down to zero medications. He wakes up once a night because he drinks a lot of fluid during the day. He drove to Toronto from Montreal 5 hours without stopping at one gas station to pee. I mean, it was life-changing for him. And all done in the office.
Took us 10 minutes.
10 minutes. He had a catheter. He did have a catheter for a week afterwards, but incredible.
And one last idea that we talk about stents. There's another device that's probably 6 to 12 months away. It's called Optilume. It's a device now used for urethral strictures. So you actually use a balloon in a urethral stricture. They're doing the same thing in the prostate. So it's called the Everest trial, and they just have now the data for the Pinnacle. It's the name of the trial, they have fancy names. But they blow up a balloon to 4 atmospheres, and the outer coating of the balloon has paclitaxel. It's like a small dose of chemotherapy that will add to the atrophy and prevent stricture formation. And the IPS reductions and the flow rates improvements are ridiculous. And that's a 5-minute, you go in, you see where it's located, you make sure it's in the prostate, you pump up the balloon, it expands, it sort of creates these cracks in the prostate tissue anterior. You put the paclitaxel, you take it out, catheter for a few days. Life-changing.
I did one last week, not for the prostate, that's not available, but for a stricture, which is a blockage of the urethra, a scar tissue. And, you know, it took 15, 20 minutes. The guy goes home with a catheter. 2 days later, he came back, took out the catheter, and
And to me, the next generation, and we're talking already like Star Wars, we're a little bit in the future. I'm even thinking next level is like they have heart stents. There was the bare metal stents, but guess what came after that? Drug-eluting stents. Could I put this stent, some medications I will add further to the outcomes, and make it absorbable so that in a couple of months, it's out.
Dissolved.
Yeah.
So I think those are ideas that have, you know, as urologists, I think we love urology because it's ever-changing, you know. Appendix surgery and gallbladder.
And for us as patients, that's the way we look at it, like the less invasive,
the quicker
the
less
recovery.
Less is more.
Yeah.
It's much better for us. So.
Thanks for that, Kevin.
Yes, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Have the Balls Talk About It. Kevin, thank you for coming on the show.
There
you
go. My pleasure.
Smack the balls. Guys, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell, as well as check out our Have the Balls Talk About It Men's Club. We'll put the link in the comment box, and we'll see you guys next week.